الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا
the marriage. We know that in fiqh, in sharia, it's haram to To ask for divorce or to divorce your wife, for example, for no reason. This is haram. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns in marriage to last. Also, we know in Sharia, if someone divorces their wife and they are very mad at the time of the divorce, most of the ulama say this doesn't count as a divorce. Also, we know in Sharia, if someone divorces his wife 3 times in one sitting, it counts as one, according to many of the fuqaha. Also, if someone divorces his wife during her monthly cycle or after childbirth, during the bleeding for 40 days, many scholars say this doesn't count, and so on and so forth. So these ahkam are there to protect the marriage, because we know that, for example, during the monthly cycle, that there's no interest in some cases in the wife, and the wife is not psychologically stable at this time, it's emotionally stable, so she may say something or do something, and the husband will be mad, and divorce will happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to close this door, right? So the 6 things that we always keep in mind when you look for a wife, a lady to marry, or for the sister to look for a husband to marry, if someone is proposing to your daughter or your sister, alhamdulillah, you can think of the things I'm going to say today. If you're already married, too bad. But in any case, always keep these points in your mind, because they are very important. The 6 points are, I call them the deen factor, then the chemistry factor, the Oscars factor, the citizenship factor, and number 5, what I call the inter-religious factor, and number 6, the inter-relatives factor. These are the 6 reasons why divorces happen, the top 6. The first one is deen. We are told repeatedly in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تنكح المرأة لأربع لمالها ولجمالها ولحسبها ونسبها وكذا. وفي النهاية قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاظفر بذات الدين تلمة يداك. We know in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says that women are married for 4 reasons. Number 1, for their beauty, for their wealth, and for their status in society and their family. And number 4, for the fact that they are practicing the faith, for their faith, right? Then the Prophet ﷺ says, always look for the one with the faith. And I'm not asking you to marry the ugliest person right out there, right? And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ also applies to men. We can also say that men are being married for 4 reasons. So women also look at these 4 things. They want to marry someone who is good looking, someone from a good family, someone who is wealthy. But the hadith also applies for the sisters as well. Look for a husband who is practicing the deen, right? So the deen should always be there. There's nothing wrong with marrying the most beautiful woman, the most gorgeous woman in town, or the wealthiest man in town, or the most good-looking person in town, or the person from the best family in town, as long as the person is practicing, right? So religion, or the fact that the person is practicing, has to be there in the relationship. Some of the ulama say, all these things, the beauty, the wealth, the status are very important, but the religion is the most important thing. And he says, for example, he had a board in front of him, and he says, if religion is 1, you put 1 to the left, then you have beauty, put a 0 to its right, this makes it 10. If you talk about wealth, you put another 0, it makes it 100. And if we talk about status or the family status, put another 0, you have 1,000. So if the lady is beautiful and she is from a good family, she has good education, but she is not wealthy, take out a 0, you are left with 100. Or if the person is beautiful from a rich family, but they don't have a good education, whatever, you take a 0, you are left with another 100. And if you remove all the zeros, she's only practicing, mashallah, but she's not very beautiful, she's not from a very high family in the society, then at least you're left with 1. But he says, if you remove the 1 at the beginning, you're left with, which is a religion, if you're left with 3 zeros, you're left with nothing. 3 zeros don't mean anything. So this is what he says. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah says, a man came to him and he said, there are 3 people who are proposing to my daughter in marriage. One of them is rich, one is from a very good family, and the third one is practicing, but he doesn't have enough money. So he says, زوجها ممن يخاف الله فإنه إن أحبها أكرمها وإن أبغضها لم يظلمها. So a man came to Al-Hasan al-Basri and says, three people are proposing to my daughter. One of them is rich, one from a good family, and the third is practicing. Who should I marry my daughter to? So Al-Hasan al-Basri says, marry her to the one who's practicing the faith, the one who knows Allah, the one who has haya from Allah. If he loves her, he will honor her. But if for some reason he starts to hate her, he will not be unjust to her. You see? Because he has haya from Allah, so he will have haya from your daughter. So this is what we mean by someone who's practicing the faith. When we say someone who's practicing the faith, we don't mean someone who has a PhD in Islamic studies or Kabir al-Hajjaj, all these things. No. We mean someone who knows halal and haram. Someone who knows what is right and what is wrong. Someone who knows their rights to Allah and their rights to the people. That's all we want from the person. Someone who practices Islam, who prays and fasts, but someone who also is good to people and generous and honors people and so on and so forth. So this is what we mean by someone who's practicing. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu did something very beautiful, and we miss it these days. And by this we mean when they offered their righteous children to righteous people to marry. There's nothing wrong Islamically. If you go to a brother in the community and tell them, I see you all the time in the masjid, you are a very good Muslim, mashallah, you pray all the time, mashallah, you treat people nicely, and I have a daughter and I want you to marry my daughter. There's nothing wrong with this in Islam. But some people in some of our cultures, we think, what is this? I offer my daughter in marriage to someone, like she's not, like there's no one to marry her. I mean, some people think this is disgraceful. You will see it in a lot of the hadith from the Sahaba. In the hadith in the Bukhari, لما تأيمت حفصة بنت عمر رضي الله عنه. So the wife of Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه, her husband passed away. So he offered his daughter Hafsa to Uthman رضي الله عنه. So Uthman رضي الله عنه said, will you please give me a few days to think about it? And this is in Bukhari. Then he came back a few days later and he said, قَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَلَّا أَتَزَوَّجَ فِي يَوْمِ هَذَا. I don't think I'm ready to get married for the time being. So he said, Umar said, I was mad at him in my heart. Then he said, I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and I offered him my daughter in marriage. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu looked at the ground and he didn't say anything. And he said, I was even madder at him than I was at Uthman radiallahu anhu. A few days later, the Prophet ﷺ came to Umar and he proposed to Hafsa radiallahu anha in marriage. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I gave her to him, to the Prophet ﷺ in marriage. Then Abu Bakr came to me and he said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ mention that he was going to propose to your daughter, and this is why I don't want to share the secret of the Prophet ﷺ with anyone. If he was not interested in her, I would have proposed to her and married her. Okay? So this is something good, to offer your kids to someone that you know is good and practicing. There is nothing wrong with this. So the number one, the religion factor, the deen factor. The second one, the chemistry factor. When you propose to someone to marry, or someone is proposing to your daughter or sister in marriage, make sure that you have something in common with the person you're going to marry. And I'm not talking about small things like personal choices and preferences in life. Because you will not find two identical couples in this whole world. Maybe the husband is vegetarian and she is carnivore, he is liberal and she is conservative, and she supports hockey, he supports soccer, and all these. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the common grounds, which are they know their rights and obligations, halal and haram, and their goal in life is to start a Muslim family and to get closer to Allah. This is the goal and this is the common ground that every Muslim family should have, right? For the marriage to survive and to succeed. So this is what we're talking about. The religion has to be at the core of the family. We know the story of Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu when he started to cry and he was sitting with his wife, and when she saw him crying, she started to cry and she said, you know, why are you crying? He said, well, I remembered the hellfire and I remembered the judgment, I started to cry. So he said, this is the reason why I cried, but why did you cry after you saw me crying? She said, I just saw you crying and I started to cry, right? Just for the share the feelings and the emotions. He didn't say anything, but she felt like there was something that was in his mind and something that was bothering him, and she was sharing the feelings and the emotions with him, right? Some people just live there together like roommates in the family. After they have like 3 or 4 kids together, they start to live like roommates. They don't talk, he stays out, and the house for him is like a hotel, right? And some of the sisters, when they look at the brother, he's like the money man. He's just here because he provides for us. And the brother, this is like a hotel. I come here, I spend some time, and I leave. So this is why families fall apart. This Arabi, Suhail Arabi, قصة في المستطرف. سويل يعني مين أسوأ شخص تتزوجه من النساء وكان ذا خبرة بالنساء كما قال فقال شرهن التي تدفن الحسنات وتذيع السيئات تمام تعين الزمان على بعلها ولا تعين بعلها على الزمان إن دخل خرجت وإن خرج دخلت وإن ضحك بكت وإن بكى ضحكت بيتها مسبول وطفلها مهزول تبكي وهي ظالمة وتشهد وهي ظالمة ابتلاها الله بالويل والثبور وعظائم الأمور. So this Bedouin used to live in the desert. He was asked about if I'm going to propose to someone in marriage, who should I marry? So he mentioned the types of people that you should avoid when you plan to get married. The people you don't have anything in common with them. The people who don't share your values. The people who are not easygoing. So he said, the worst of all women to marry, the one who publicizes the bad about you, and she will hide the good. She is the one who will support the difficulties of time against you, but she will not support you against the difficulties of time. If you come in, she will go out. If you go out, she will come in. If you cry, she will laugh. If you laugh, she will cry. Her kids are miserable. Her house is filthy. She's always crying unjustly, and she's always bearing witness to what she has never seen, like false testimony. She claims to be an eyewitness, but she's not there. And he said, this is a miserable soul. And the same applies to brothers and sisters, okay, in this case. So the second factor is the chemistry. I've seen some situations where some of the families who live here, because they don't want to marry their daughters to someone from here, so they might force their daughters to marry their cousin who's living in a totally different culture. They don't speak the language. They don't know anything about Canada. Then they sponsor him and he comes here and eventually the relationship will end in divorce. I've seen so many cases. There's nothing wrong if you marry your daughter to someone that you know, but someone who has something in common with your daughter, with your son. At least, inshallah, there is a guarantee that they are on the same page and the marriage will succeed. The third reason is what I call the Oscars fact. Because you know some people are desperate to get married, so they start to act before they marry and they propose to someone, and they claim to be someone they are not. Say for example, they don't pray, they don't fast, they don't go to the masjid, but right before they get married or before they propose to someone, they have what I call the pre-marriage syndrome. They start, mashallah, they're now going to the masjid all the time, they cry in salah, all these things, just to get the Oscars, right? So when they propose to the sister, and they do the background check, then the guy is faking. He doesn't pray, or the sister, she's not practicing, and so on and so forth. Just be yourself. And I heard stories. He told me he is from this family, he has this degree from that school, and after they got married, he can't even write his name, right? These things, people are just faking. Or the brother would tell the sister, mashallah, sister, after we get married, we'll be going to Mecca for Hajj every Ramadan. Every preschool kid knows that there's no Hajj in Ramadan, but in any case. Also, she will tell him, oh, mashallah, brother, you know, after we get married, I'm going to support you, fi sabilillah, we're going to be waking you up all night to pray, at night, p.m., and the sucker doesn't even pray. You see, so all these things, the acting that happens, and after we get married, then the husband or the wife is not up to the expectations because They were not themselves before they got married. I always remember the story of Musalama radiallahu anha. It's an authentic hadith. She lost her husband, Abu Salama rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet has proposed to her in marriage, Umm Salama radiallahu anha. So she says, Ya Rasulullah, mithluka la yurad. There's no one who can say no to someone like you. You know, every woman in the world would love, would be honored to marry you. But I have three issues about me, you know. So she's being very frank about herself. She said, I'm very jealous, ghayur. I have jealousy in my heart, right? And I'm old, and I have children, and I don't want to bother you, make things difficult for you. So the Prophet ﷺ says, as for the jealousy part, I will make dua so Allah will remove it from your heart. As for the age, I'm as old as you are. And as for your children, they are my kids. So eventually she agreed and they got married. But she was honest about herself and about her personality with the Prophet. So just be yourself. And if you have an issue, if you have a shortcoming or a defect, just be frank about it. Yeah, I don't go to the masjid as often. You know, I snore in my sleep. Whatever, I have sleep apnea, whatever. Just be frank about it. You're not the only one. I know, 85% of the brothers snore at night, right? So you're not the only one. Just be frank. And the person, inshallah, if they are true and they love you, inshallah, they will help you. But just be yourself. No surprises after marriage. So this is the third one. So we spoke about the deen factor, the chemistry factor, the Oscars factor, and number four, the citizenship factor. We read the papers and we know what is going back home. There are a lot of financial problems, economic problems, political problems, and corruption, and all these things. A lot of people, believe me, there are millions, there are things we take for granted here. You are here living in this country, you are enjoying freedoms and democracy. A lot of things we cannot enjoy back home, and this is the reason why many of us came here. There are thousands of people, or actually millions of people back home, who would like to be in your place here, right? MashaAllah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with something, you are able to practice your religion. Some people back home, they cannot even go to the masjid and pray, they cannot grow their beard, they cannot wear the hijab in Muslim countries. But you have all these things here, so they would like to come here to enjoy all these things that we take for granted and we're not grateful for. Thousands and thousands every year in the news. They just jump in a boat just to go to Europe, Italy, France, all these countries, and to hunt for freedom and for the good opportunities we have. Thousands of them die in the ocean or in the sea. They die, they drown and die, right? Some of them think, well, what I can do it the easy way. I can just talk to a lady on Facebook or something. They are gullible back there. I can just start a relationship with her. She will sponsor me, we'll get married, khalas, right? I'm not saying that every marriage or racial marriage will end in divorce. There are so many people who are married to people from different cultures, from abroad, and the marriages are very successful. But make sure when you marry someone from overseas that the person is actually marrying you for the right reasons. In some cases, and I've seen so many cases, after they get their passport or their PR or their citizenship, bye-bye, they give you a divorce. So many cases. So make sure that you are marrying the right person. So this is number four. Number five, what I call the inter-religious factor. I've seen some Muslims, they get married to non-Muslims, mostly Christians. And it's, in a lot of cases, the marriages are very successful. But in some cases, the brother, for example, is not practicing. He doesn't go to the masjid, he doesn't pray. And the lady doesn't even go to the church. She doesn't know where the church is. But after they have kids, now he starts to go to the masjid, he takes his kids to the Saturday school, and now the lady is mad, she wants her kid to go to the church. And they have fights, and I've seen some cases where the relationship will end in divorce. So for some reason now, when there is kids in the relationship, they're going to start to think about the future of the kids. Okay, why does he want to raise the kids as Muslim? This will be betrayal to the legacy and the tradition of my family. This is how people think, right? So always admired. And alhamdulillah, we have a lot of good sisters in the community and very good brothers in the community. And we know Islamically a Muslim brother is allowed to marry a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew. And if every Muslim marries a non-Muslim lady, who is going to marry our good Muslim sisters in the community? So always keep this in your mind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in life. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله وصلى الله ورحمه للعالمين. The last point, I know we can take hours and hours to think about the reasons why problems happen in the family and why marriages fall apart, but inshallah I just wanted to give you a flavor of the reasons why marriages in some cases end in divorce, to keep these things in your mind if you plan for marriage or someone is going to get married in the family. The last reason for today, and this is a very common reason, and I've seen it in some cultures, always families try to put their nose in the relationship. So after, for example, the brother and the sister get married, their families always interfere and they always put their nose in the relationship. And they keep calling every day. Where did he go? How much he paid monthly? What did she cook? Her cooking skills, all these things. Just leave them alone. When you were their age, you didn't want people to bother you, right? Because alhamdulillah, you're old enough, you're intelligent enough, educated enough to take care of your life. Don't bother people. Everyone has enough. Just let them be, right? Enjoy their lives and handle their lives the way they want. I remember one time, one brother came to me with his wife. Very wonderful people. He says there is one problem. The relationship ended in divorce at the end. He says she calls her mom back home every 2 hours. He did this, he said this, he gave me the wicked look, what should I do, change the diaper on the phone, all these things. And he said, wallahi, he used to go to somewhere else, Fort Mac, to work, and he said, because she was calling international, making international calls, he said, hundreds of dollars are wasted every month. She's calling every day. And I said, why do you do this? And she said, well, my family lives back home, I don't know what to do, I'm calling my mother for guidance all the time, right? I said, okay, there's nothing wrong if you call your mom once or twice a week or three, four times a month. There's nothing wrong. But not every 2 hours. This is too much, right? If you make tea, you call your mom. If you boil an egg, you call your mom. And the brothers do the same thing. They're always calling their mom or their dad just for advice. Small things, right? I understand that there's an issue. Maybe you get someone wise from the family or the imam or someone who's knowledgeable to help. There's nothing wrong. But you don't call them for small things. So when this brother told me about his wife calling his mom like every 2 minutes or 2 hours, and she said that her brothers and sisters are doing the same thing. They're always calling the headquarters back home to give the orders. And I started to think, how does it look like in her mom's home? Every time they call, there must be an answer machine that says, okay, I've reached your mom's. If your husband, if you're suffering in your marriage, press 1. If you can't sleep from work, press 2. If he doesn't give you all his money, press 3. If you want to speak to a representative, press 0 to talk to your dad. So this is crazy. Take care of your issues and don't get anyone involved unless there's something serious. And eventually, if people love each other and people live Islam and practice Islam, they know that they are here in this life not to stay, but for just a short visit, right? We're here for a short period of time, eventually we're not going to stay here because we don't belong here. This is what the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith. You are here just as a traveler, eventually inshallah we'll make it to Jannah. The best way to know how to deal with your husband or wife, as I always say, the mawadda al-rahmah, which is the foundation of a successful marriage, mentioned in Surah Al-Rum. من آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. This love and respect in the relationship, the easiest way to achieve it is to treat your wife the same way you like your sister to be treated by her husband, and for the sister to treat your husband the same way you like your brother to be treated by his wife. This is fairness and this is justice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in life and the best in the life to come. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in everything we say and do. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuwaffiqana lima yuhibbu wardah. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and aslih azwajana wa aslih awladana. Wa fi lana bi sa'adati ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma arham abaana wa ummahatina wa ashabi hubuka alayna. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maghfir lil muslimin.